It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 179. As always, I am one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the Sylvester Stallone and Estelle Getty of L.A.
Whoa!
Jesse okay. And Alex.
Yeah, okay. All right. Stop, all right. Or my mom will shoot.
Yeah, hey, you knew it.
I know.
Heard this movie until today.
There's probably a reason for that.
I can't imagine it's good. 1992, baby.
It's like if I told you that there was a bulldog that existed with the legs of a panther, like, you'd have to go see it.
I mean, is it one of those? I got to go see this. Like, you should at least see it once.
It was during that time period where it was like, all right, we're going to pair up Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And like, oh, yeah, let's get an ape and a man, or like a dog and a guy. You know,
it was like low key Freaks Show resurgence, but we were like too polite to say it was Freak Show. So it was like, yo, what about like a guy with muscles and an old ass lady? Let's go.
Yeah.
What is the plot? Can you give me the plot synopsis real quick?
Stop, or Mom Will Shoot? From what I remember, I believe Sylvester Stallone was a cop and his mom was like, oh, don't, you know, it was that kind of thing. But also the mom was a badass secretly, that kind of vibe.
Gotcha.
Where she was like, if you hurt my son, I'll kick your bottom. I believe that was the show.
She comes to live with him and she like gets mixed up in his life in like an impossible way that would get her killed in real life in like 5 seconds.
Sure.
Right. Okay, got it. Well, I mean, the sweatband on her head and the AR in her hand certainly
stop, or my mom will shoot. Yeah. It
speaks to what the movie might be like. And it's the actress from the Golden Girls. It's one of the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
The old Golden Girl.
The olden girl.
I seem to recall that at the time people enjoyed the comedy stylings. I don't know.
I think Golden Girls probably still holds up. I bet you it still holds
Golden
up.
Golden Girls? Golden Girls is like one of the best TV shows that's ever been
made. I'm talking about this film.
This movie's not going to be one. You're not going to throw this one on and be like, every year we should watch this. Like,
is this a movie we should watch on Rotten Popcorn that you can get at Patreon?
No, we should.
What defines a movie we should watch on Rotten Popcorn?
That's
just
point.
Like, whatever. Yeah, is it just whatever?
It's whatever I feel like throwing in front of your faces, honestly.
Yeah.
Which we need to do that soon. We got to schedule this month's watch, boys. We got to do Step Monster. We planned on doing it last month. We got to do Step Monster this month. It's an hour and a half movie. It won't take long. And a violin saves the day is all I remember as a child.
What?
And I remember that scene scared me. I was a young boy and I remember being very horrified.
We're just reliving his life.
Is some sort of like trauma.
We're like unscarying his child. Yeah.
Well, what else did I put in front? That's like the first movie that I watched as a kid that I've put in front of you. Come on now. The rest are movies I wanted to see.
The more things that we watch, like the more psychic powers you gain in the present from like unlocking. Yeah.
That's exactly how it works. You don't know it, but I'm opening my third eye with each film. It's slowly cracking it open.
And just like he's opening his third eye, maybe you should open your wallets and head over to patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod.
Oh my God.
The only website that there is, and get some stuff that you want to have. And it gives us the money to make the show. That's how it goes. That's what you should do. Go have it. And the movies that we're talking about, they're on there. You're going to like it. That's a website.
Is that the Alex guarantee?
That's an Alex guarantee. Please. Trauma product.
And if you're a patron of the chosen tier, t-shirts codes went out today. So the brand new t-shirt that launched on Chilluminati that'll be running until the end of the year.
You mean everyone on Patreon got it for free just now?
Everyone in the chosen tier got it for free.
Yeah, the chosen. That's who I'm at. That's the only people I'm ever talking about. That's right, why they're chosen.
I try to keep that subtle, you know, to keep the facade going, but it's
not that subtle when they're called the chosen tier.
Well, you know, I guess fair enough. Yeah, the new t-shirt's dropped. Go to yeti.com/Jilluminati. It's the Air Hypnosis Magic 8-Ball t-shirt. It's available for about 2 months this time around. Please go. It's fucking incredible.
It looks like we had a TV show on in the 90s, and this is like a throwback shirt from like Hot Topic for it.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Like a Nickelodeon Invader Zim kind of style of show. It's phenomenal. So please go get that and check it out while you still can. Beyond that, I don't think there's anything else we need to shill. So I just want to say, hey, guys, this is a belated episode. We had a very busy Halloween. We were traveling for, I was traveling for the live show. And then when we got back, we were in the midst of doing Dahmer. And then there were some scheduling issues. We finished Dahmer last week. So we all owe you our yearly Halloween special on this ripe day of, I think for you guys, it's November 18th.
I don't know who that was.
Thank you. That was you set the mood, and I'm feeling spooky scary now.
So. That was no mood was set there.
Maybe Dean can add some echo into the background. It's because of your Patreon support that Dean can edit. And Dean's trapped here now, listening to us live.
Just add silence, just like crickets. Like chirp chirp.
Today we've got a bajillion stories since the last time we did reader stories was July. So it has been since July since we've done listener stories. It's Halloween That's time. Crazy. I know. It always feels like way sooner than that. And there were a ton on the subreddit, including a dream, updates on a couple of old stories, and a bunch of new stories that stretch from out of body to ghost sightings and other things. So
that's how you know you got a good podcast, is when there's like now lore just from the fucking fan stories.
Yeah, exactly. And for all of you who are like, how you fan reading stories, they're not real. Dude, if you listen to Atlantis with any actual interest, I'm going to spoil it. That's not real either. So let's just go in and imagine that these are real.
Whoa, you the believer?
I know. I try.
I'm going to go one step further and suggest there may even be a few other episodes that aren't entirely based in truth.
It's true. It's very, I mean, Greenstone is not one of them. That's just,
yeah, were any of those stone based?
I think those are historically accurate.
I don't know what you guys have so little faith, but it's crazy because
one day
when it all pays off, you guys are going to not only hand me the key to the city, but the key to your hearts. Patreon.com/Jilluminati Pod. Be there, be square.
But anybody who doesn't know our editor, Dean, he lives in England. Imagine one day this is just a long plot and Dean shows up with the green stone and the sword and he's just there to finish the episode and end the podcast
forever.
He's
definitely a lot closer than I am.
I need you to know, Alex, that I bought a book on Audible to listen to while driving around.
Okay.
You should have been listening to the podcast, Jilluminati Pod.
Yeah, well, I'm on it, so I live it. But when it's called When Prophecy Fails, and it is a very famous old book. I got the like old version. There's two versions of the audiobook. The new one's garbage. It literally is about a group of like, you know, extreme cultisty types that are told the end of the world is coming and then it doesn't happen. And then what happens after that? And it turns out, spoilers for cults, they get more and more adamant it will happen. Even though they're told repeatedly and those dates never occur. And all I'm saying is the lesson I've learned from listening to this book is that, Alex, you've created a cult of the Green Stone.
That's
and we're all waiting for the Green Stone. And you're like,
it's true.
When it happens, when the payoff occurs, and we're over here like, yeah, yes, yeah.
You're See, a monster. I did it the right way when it comes to cults, because cults that set definite dates, even if they keep assigning definite dates, eventually that will wear away at support. The most successful cults are the ones that leave the end of the world vague, and it can be whenever, and that's exactly what Alex has done, not only with the Green Stone,
he's
but
a monster.
JFK. The
red stone. He's a monster. He created a red stone out of the blue just so we would have an enemy.
If I created it out of the blue, how come I have three books about it sitting on my bookshelf?
You did, and I didn't touch
books.
A single.
Show us the books. Show us the books.
I'll show you the books.
Where's the proof?
You want to see the books? I'll show you the books. Hold on.
Man's getting. He's getting up. He's leaving right now. He has left. He is going to a bookshelf. He is looking through books. He's pulling. All right. I think he threw some books behind the bookshelf. He has three books, it looks like. He's looking them over. He put one back. Nope. He grabbed a random third one.
There we go. All right. Here we go. It looked like chaos, but perhaps.
Yes. Go. I can't wait. Yes. All right. Let's see these books.
That's first the book.
It's called The Green Stone.
The green. That's the touché, book I saw touché. When I was there.
And then?
The Chronicles of Meonia. Okay, yeah, all right.
I don't know what that could mean. That could be anything. That's just the title.
The Seventh Sword.
That's a fantasy book. That's a fantasy book. That's not real. That's not real. So we have one book titled The Green Stone and two books that are like Brandon Sanderson or something.
The Eye of Fire. That's a sequel. That's the sequel to the one you just showed us. What does it say? Graham Phillips, authors of The Green Stone. I hate this. I hate this whole...
You can't... There is no... There is not a thing as an historical piece of anything that has a sword with lightning bolts on it. It doesn't...
Until now!
Ah, damn it. I didn't know those were novels were involved, too. It just looks like... Knock off like Shannara books, like you would see.
Have you ever heard of The Diamond in the Rough?
Yes. Yeah, this is pretty rough.
That's from Aladdin. Yeah.
You are correct.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Happy belated Halloween special, everybody. We got some of your stories here. Alex, after he's done taking a smoking from his Gandalf pipe, I'm going to assign the very first story for you, Alex. You know, you're gonna warm us up. And the next one is Jesse's.
He's blowing out a smoke ring that's a giant ship.
Oh, yeah. The ship went through the ring, and now the sails have gone up. And wow.
Sailors are going to bed.
Is that little people on that ship?
Yeah. They're doing a little shanty. They're like, blow me down.
Is that where that music's coming from? Wow. Amazing.
And the captain is the bean boy. He's just sat.
They're doing licensed music from the 1960s film 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Disney. Doesn't make sense.
Is it good? I've never seen that movie. Is it worth seeing?
It's good. You know what? We should do it on Rotten Popcorn. It's a perfect Rotten Popcorn movie, whatever that is.
All right. I'd be down.
It is, though. It's a great movie. This one's called Out of Body Vision. It's by Bleak Victory 316, which is all I could ever possibly look forward to regarding the Green Stone. Firstly, I totally consent to this being read on the pod. I'm not entirely sure what this was, whether you can call it a vision, sleep paralysis, or a dream, but when I was only 4 years old, I had what I can only explain as a conscious awakening. Hell yeah.
I felt that when I took my first mushroom dose.
How could you explain anything like that at 4 years
old? Yeah, I don't...
I remember vague... We'll get there.
I wonder if they mean it's like the first time they like became like, you know, they have memories or
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this is different. I don't think this is like they became aware of...
Four
like,
is very young, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I could talk when I was four. I remember vague memories from before this time, but any time I remember them, they always play out with everything being gray and a constant reminder that I was not in control of my body at that time, as if I was viewing someone else's memories. Sometime when I was 4 years old, I had apparently went to sleep on my couch in my old living room, and the first memory I have, which I can feel I can call my own, is this vision of many different flashing images, some rapid and some slowed, including people I hadn't met yet, places I hadn't been yet, all of which are clear to me now, and biblical images, including the famous painting of Jesus on the cross, the latter of which I simply chalk up to my grandparents taking me to church often. After the images subsided, it was as if my vision came from clouds, as white, gray, cloudy things in my vision separated, went to the sides of my vision before leaving entirely, and what I saw when they separated was none other than my living room shown from the top corner near the TV. Specifically, if you're looking at the TV, it would be top left of it, with the Today Show on TV, my mom sitting in a chair next to me having finished folding towels, and me asleep on the couch, stiff as a board. That sentence right there.
Lies a feather, stiff as a board?
No, it has a Pynchonian beauty to it. Anyway, my vision gets closer and closer to my head, slow at first, but gradually speeding up. By the time it's close enough that I feel I could have reached out and touched my forehead, I snap awake, eyes as open as I could make them and breathing heavy like I had held my breath. My mom looks over at me and in a calm voice simply says, "You okay? You look like you've seen a ghost." I told her I was okay and simply went along with the day, not sure how to put it into words.
What is a four? When you go about your day at 4 years old, what are you doing? When you like,
how, what were you considering?
So like, I went about my day as a 4 year old. What, to go throw food,
poking my finger into my butt and mushing up some clay. Yeah, like, it's just such that's what I was doing.
Fascinating way to phrase it.
It's just funny. Like, what are you deliberating even when you're 4 years
right.
old?
Right. Well, yeah. Like yeah. when the next
maybe, but you know what? Ray Bradbury. When my friend met Ray Bradbury in a bookshop in San Pedro, California, back in the day, oldest bookshop in Los Angeles, Ray Bradbury just creepily leaned over to him and whispered into his ear that he remembered being born. So,
all right, well, possible. Okay, yeah, that's very strange. I think he's told me that story before, and it's very weird.
Anyway, shout outs to Andrew, wherever you are. I haven't told them in the 18 years since either, but it has stuck with me ever since, and in listening to this podcast, it has reminded me of it.
We awoke it.
I'm still not sure what to make of it, so hopefully if you cover it on the pod, you can shed some light on it. Thanks for reading. P.S. I'm adding this for Mathis's sake because it's crazy, but something I believed a bit as a child. My dad named me after his best friend, Pat, who died in a car accident, and maybe I am the reincarnation of that man in some way. I have always had a crack in the middle of my forehead. You can feel Harry with your Potter. Finger, after all. So maybe that's how Pat got in.
Okay, so I don't. First of all, why is that added for me? Why is that for me? I don't. Do I know this Pat? I don't. Well,
you just love a freaky story.
That's true. Man. I do love a good freaky story.
You love when it goes from 9 to 11.
That's true. I do. Is he implying that his body, his 4 year old body, was soulless until this moment when his soul inhabited his body for the first time?
I think he's saying that at four, he had this moment of awakening, saying that perhaps there was more than just what he knew to be reality. Is what he's saying, and that potentially opens him up to seeing previous lives or previous points of time, that kind of thing.
Do you think his mom fishbowled him at like four accidentally?
I think
like a bubble boy. That,
yeah, like a bubble boy.
I mean, everyone's different, but I would think that really what this is like every other time I think of the past when I was very, very young, it's when he talks about flashes and seeing it. To me, that seems like shards of memories that may or may not coexist together, and they can be blended together, and you things that you're told you did suddenly become a memory of something, even if you don't remember it. If your parents told you enough, then it's real, that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I have no clue.
It's a fascinating story either way. I've always been fascinated with out-of-body experiences in general. I remember for a long time in high school I tried to do it and I could never do it. So
there's a story by Borges that's like, I forget what it's called. Maybe it's called the Aleph or something like that. I might be getting my wires crossed on that, but it's like a fixed point under like a random staircase in some house where like is like the sum hole of like, you can like kind of like get the entire knowledge of the universe if you like align with it in just the right way and notice it and catch it. And maybe something like that happened. Maybe you just like had a moment of like pure oneness where you like radiated through the universe like a baby 4 year old tuning fork.
You weren't being broken down as an equation. Your equation was being written.
It's just funny because it's like things from my own future that I've like realized were part of this vision as I've gotten older, and like Jesus on the cross. It's just like, it sounds like a mix between like Mushrooms, the cave from Willy Wonka, and like, you know, I don't know, just like some fucked up shit, but I don't know what could cause that. Like a psychedelic experience as a 4-year-old, maybe you had some DMT in your system.
Fascinating. That's true.
You know, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I would love to know if, in a follow-up, what going about your day as a 4-year-old meant. I'm very curious what you had planned for the rest of your day. Jesse, this next one's for you because you read the original story that this one is based on.
Okay.
You'll remember as you read.
Seeing Horns Update by the Jamaicanese Nerd. Hey guys, saw that you read my post about the horns.
This is the person who could see horns on people because of
the horn
sins.
Vibes.
Right.
Yeah.
And wanted more clarification on things. So here I am. Sorry it took so long. Master's degree in animation kind of eats up my time. Awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it's congratulations. Congrats.
Also, don't feel bad about my screen name. I'm Jamaican and Japanese. I thought it'd be a nice combination of words. I love it. Anyway, here are a few things about the horns that I didn't make clear enough, especially now that I had an extended conversation with my great-grandma, who for simplicity we will call Nana from now on, about them before she passed. Firstly, the horns aren't exactly negative. More so, they're meant to be seen as sort of like Atlas holding the sky, a burden on the body and mind that's spiritually represented by a set of horns. So no, Mathis wouldn't have big ones just because he bargained with Satan for power. The random sex stuff, however, is a different story. Hey, well, right.
What random sex stuff? Come on now.
You would have horns because you're a pervert. Right, yeah.
What am I? Is it perversion if I'm horny for aliens we have yet to see proven exist?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well,
100%.
All right. Well, I'm not.
You're like, I'm attracted to nothing. I'm attracted to a concept that's beyond even my own knowledge at this time.
So imagine if we find out it is real and it is so beyond my own knowledge, even my expectations, my high expectations are blown away.
What if it's just like a can of creamed corn, chemically, physically, in every way, except it has the mind of like Megamind inside?
For the sake of just saying, at least I went through with it, I'd have to go once, but at that, and I'd be done.
See how big his horns are, folks?
Massive horns.
My Mathis horns are right here.
I don't have to work too hard for him to show you.
Also, by the way, I can see them over video, though it's faint, but not pictures for some reason. I think it needs to be a physical presence of the person that has to be seen, and representations like pictures don't really have a soul behind them, if that makes sense.
Which, if I may be like, movies are just many images played rapidly next to each other. So I don't understand why. Yeah, it's very, very confusing.
You can see faint, said faint.
Maybe the demons have like a high,
they prefer
like
a high frame rate kind of thing.
Yeah, like maybe they just need
that. Okay, fair enough.
You can't catch
and a
them.
Single shot, people pose. So maybe they're pretending to be who they are. Rather than on film, you can catch glimpses of their reality.
You're that guy who like gets hired like early in the cult to like make my bullshit sound believable.
Yeah, I'm the guy who's going to start asking questions and be like, hang on.
Yeah, maybe there's a greenstone in all of us.
Maybe.
It's been here the entire time. All right, secondly, they aren't all represented by ram's horns. Rather, ram is the more typical of the look. Some have deer horns or antlers for those who want to be anal about terminology, or a rhino horn.
Now, what do you think we have?
You have
like each individually. What do we think?
You just have two boners.
you have like a rhino horn, but it's just dicks.
Two ivory boners.
Alex,
you look like the scorn PC.
Alex has the same type of horns as like a pan figure.
Okay, yeah.
Right. You have little pan horns,
Mr. Tumnus.
Yeah. Okay. Me, giant elk, like stag, like huge.
You want
moose horn?
Yeah.
Moose, just like
moose
massive
horns.
Moose antlers.
All right.
Yeah.
I wonder,
with like a layer of snow.
Go watch a YouTube video with all of us in it and let us know how
massive.
Close we got.
I need to know, do I have bigger horns than Mathis? That's all I care about. Thank
Your
you.
Your horns are never going to be bigger than mine, baby.
Well, I need a follow up. We're going to follow up.
I don't know about bigger, but they're definitely different.
Touche. I didn't get a chance to ask my Nana what each meant before her passing, or I did and simply forgot because it was a 3-hour conversation at that point, but I do know that there are at least 4 types of them. Lastly, there is the most important piece of information that I only want Alex to read out loud.
Oh, all right. This is for you, Alex.
The horns of sin and weight weigh heavy on us all, but the thing that weighs heavier is all the money in your pocket when you haven't subscribed to patreon.com/IlluminatiPod.
God damn it.
Where you can unload that heavy burden on those who could use it to continue to bring quality entertainment and information about loads of different paranormal topics. Plus high-quality merch that you can't get anywhere else, and many more exclusive things from these five gentlemen. So head on down to patreon.com/IlluminatiPod, also known as The Goat, pun intended. Please note, Alex did not.
I'm almost positive Alex did. This seems like...
I didn't. It's the long game. I mean, if you want to say I did in the way that, you know, the tribes worship the god on the mount, sure. Then, yeah, I did it. As I did every brand deal ever made, Jesse. As I've done every brand deal ever made.
It is known, oh great one, it is known.
So I guess with this story done, the only request I have is I want to know what our horns look like.
Yeah.
I want you to see videos of us and I want to know.
You can't say you can see our horns then not tell us what our horns look like. We need that follow-up.
I want to know what we eat.
Even if
are.
You just have a sort of like half-hearted vibe from us, I would love to know what you think our horns
are. I would like it if we could, hold on, can we all pose really quickly? And then we would like it if you would draw the horns that you see on us and post that photo. Just like screen cap, Mathis, screen cap.
She can't see it through photos. She said this. It is in the story.
I'm saying that they haven't said nothing yet about, because they said when I see you. So I'm saying, based on what you've seen of us, on the image, draw the stuff.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right, I'll take us a screenshot here. All right. Dean's going to be in this picture too, everybody. Don't worry. You can tell me what Dean's horns look like. Here we go. Done.
I can't wait.
All right. Save. Perfect. Horny image.
I wanna
That's what
know.
I'm calling this.
I want to know what my horns look like.
I need an email to send it to. Just tell me where you need this and
post it. Post it on Reddit. Say, what do our horns look like?
Okay, let's keep moving. Ghost Encounters During Travels by Hard Luck Finnegan. I like that name a lot.
Oh, man.
This is genuinely my first interaction with Reddit, so my apologies if I misstep somewhere.
And you got the name Hard Luck Finnegan on your first interaction? Amazing.
That's actually incredible.
That's Nat 20 right there.
This is so I've been a huge fan of each of the fellows for quite some time, and especially the amazing combo that is Chiluminati. Damn right, we are amazing. I liked it from the get-go, but the deal was sealed when I was driving on a densely forested rural highway at night, listening to the episode featuring or listening stories about the skinwalkers. Oh, that was one where like the deer like stood up awkwardly and like the guy who was on a motorcycle.
Yeah,
it was fucking scary. That really resonated with me, so I finally decided to share my stories in hopes they'll return the favor in some way. I'd be delighted and honored if any of them were read on the podcast. Well, you can be both delighted and honored, sir. The first story takes place in an old luxury hotel in British Columbia. I'm not sure if that's okay to throw the name on here, so I'll leave that out for now. I was about 6 years old, and my family decided to travel the area for a summer vacation. This hotel was hosting a lavish brunch event in one of the opulent ballrooms, and my mother was quite keen to go. So we all dressed as best we could in the middle of a trip and made our way to the event. I remember there being a lot of very fancy options available that I, 6 years old from rural Montana, had never actually heard of. But hey, they had fancy bacon and eggs. Honestly, that's all you really need in a breakfast.
That's
good.
My vibe at breakfast even to this day. As a
doesn't even need to be fancy. Just like slop it on there. I'm eating it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, at some point during the meal, nature called and I needed the bathroom. I asked to be excused and ventured off in this huge venue alone to take care of business. No big surprise, I quickly got lost. I made my way to a short hallway with stairs leading up parallel to the hall. I vividly remember the bright red carpet with white trim on the floor and leading up the stairs. The walls were dark wood panels from the floor to about 3 feet up, then glossy white painted to the ceiling. The lights were brass sconces with milky white glass. There was only one door at the end of the hall, and unfortunately, it was not the restroom. For being the middle of summer and with a large public event occurring not far away, there were a few things off about this hallway. It was remarkably cold and there was no sound from the crowd. Add these unsettling factors to the increasingly urgent matter at hand and you've got a kid ready to panic. Fortunately, down the stairs came some form of rescue. A gorgeous lady in white came halfway down the stairs, stopped and locked eyes with me. I remember noticing that she had green eyes, same as mine, and she was wearing something akin to a bridal gown. Without a word from either of us, she simply gestured back down the hall and to the right, leading me to the restroom. I took off, took care of business and returned to our table. keeping an eye out for the helpful lady to thank her. I never did see her again, but the event stuck with me, especially after recounting the details to my, with my mother much later when she told me, oh yeah, that was when you told me the pretty lady with no feet showed me where to go.
Rosalind Lutece.
Yeah. I don't know that reference. Please inform me.
Oh, Mathis.
It's from Bioshock Old Timey Soda Fountain. Yeah.
Oh, it's just been version. A long time. I've played Bioshock.
What's it called? Infinite? Just, Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, I've played it. Okay, it's just been a long time. It's a hard time to remember that. Also, just to point out, classic lady in white that has no feet kind of ghost sighting. This is like one of the most common types of ghosts to come across for some reason is just like the lady in white. Classic weird thing for a kid to say, right? Not too much really points to it being specifically a ghost story from that, but my own curiosity brings more to the table. I've since revisited the hotel and asked staff about some of the details. So quickly wrap this one up. They don't run multiple events at once, so not a bride for a wedding while the brunch was scheduled. The hallways do not have air conditioning, unless unexplained cold. And guests have reported similar interactions over the years. I'm sure there is a more reasonable explanation, but I like the idea of a friendly ghost lady guiding lost kids to the toilet. You know, I like
that. I don't like that idea.
You don't?
Okay, if you were a little kid and you were in a hotel and you were like, but mom, what if I get lost on my way to the bathroom? And you say, don't worry, here's the deal. If you get lost, a ghostly bride with no feet will show you your way.
Okay, no, that would prime me to be scared. But if this is a random encounter of like having a ghost, I'd much rather have an encounter with a ghost that is trying to help rather than the one that's trying to scare me, all right?
Okay, in that context, sure.
All right, yes. Yeah, if anybody told me that if I got lost, a ghost was going to guide me, I would be frightened. There's no question.
Yeah.
All right, the second story is much shorter. On another trip with just mom, dad, and I, about 11 years old, we stayed in a historic hotel in Rapid City, South Dakota. We arrived quite late, and the only restaurant open was a takeout pizza place. We got a simple pepperoni pizza and headed back to the hotel to have dinner, watch a bit of TV, and go to bed. Sometime in the middle of the night, I awoke to the sound of the pizza box shuffling around. I figured dad got a bit peckish and snacked on some leftovers. In the morning, we found the pizza box standing on end on the desk, not the table we left it on. The curtains had been fully opened and a cushion was off of the chair we left it on. Upon checking out, mom asked the gentleman at the desk if people often reported spooky things in the hotel. He brought up a notebook and said, only in two particular rooms. We don't advertise it because we want to keep the accounts as genuine as possible. Would you like to tell your story? And we did and found that many similar interactions occurred in the same room according to the notebook. That's the way to do a haunted room. That if you are genuinely believe your room in the hotel might be haunted, take note, people. You don't tell
that's
shit.
Actually,
let
yeah,
them
that's
come
the tightest,
to you yeah. with the story. I awesome. Love that. And the final story I'll share for now happened closer to home here in Montana. A popular tourist attraction here is the Old State Prison in Deer Lodge.
A lot of stuff going on in Montana.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Some TV shows have featured it and they even offer overnight ghost hunts, which is remarkably fun. But this occurrence didn't happen during the hunt. My buddy and I decided to make the trip over for a random daytime visit just for something to do on a weekend in October a few years ago. He had never been and I had told him some of the interesting stories about its long history. I'm an avid history fan, so Jesse, if you read this, thank you dearly for history's mysteries.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, we got there around noon and started our self-guided tour. I had borrowed a very nice DSLR camera from a photographer friend to take some pictures. We went through most of the prison, which is quite eerie when you're the only ones there without much happening, but still enjoying the day. When we went into one of the solitary confinement wings, we noted it was significantly colder than the air temperature outside. As we went deeper in, my friend asked me to take his picture in one of the cells. We had been taking pictures all day in all different lighting conditions with no issues, but this specific time, the camera made a bunch of strange noises and took way too long to process the image. When it did finally display the image on the screen, it was just black with a white dot. I thought I must have changed the exposure setting or worse, broke the camera. Checked all the settings, they were right where they should be. Took a picture of the hallway and it came out fine. Tried the cell picture again while my friend was still in the cell. Strange noises again. This time the image displayed a strange blurred double exposure with two instances of my friend blurred together, but the cell was fairly clear. We skedaddled pretty quick from that wing and finished our tour, taking more pictures with no further issues. We came back for the ghost hunt years later with our own gear and had some interesting happenings, but nothing as odd as that creepy camera issue. To the hosts, if you want the story for the show, I'll happily email you the picture. Well, yeah, I would love to have the picture if you want to throw it our way with your friend's permission. This obviously you don't want to make it public, but for our private eyes, hell yes. I hope anyone who reads these finds them interesting. I know there are probably some reasonable explanations out there, but hey, I put some effort into figuring them out. And ultimately, I want to believe. I have a few other stories and some from my grandpa as well, but these were the more interesting ones. From what I've seen, this seems like a great community, and I'm eager to get involved. Thanks for reading. Well, welcome to Reddit for your first ever Reddit post. That was phenomenal. Great job.
Yeah, that was like Maiden of Black Water. What's that called? What are those games called?
What? Maiden of Black Water?
The game where you take pictures of the ghosts?
You mean Fatal Frame?
Yeah, that's the
one. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Anyway, great stories.
What?
My favorite out of that one is just the hotel one, because that the air of believability with the hotel being like, no, we don't make it public, but we do collect stories. Would you like to share it? So that's really neat. Some of the more interesting ghost things are typically simple things like that, with things standing on end or being gently moved. So I love it. Hopefully when we go on our ghost hunt, which, by the way, I meant to tell you boys before we started recording, I shot an email off to the place in Texas that we're talking about, that's like 4 hours from me, where we can stay the night and do ghost hunting. They specifically rented out the ghost hunt.
Is that the old whorehouse?
I think that's exactly, yes.
Oh my God, this is my dream.
I shot an email off. I really hope we get an opportunity.
Can you imagine if we pick up some sex EVPs, like for real?
Dude.
Oh yeah.
Imagine if they're all in Jesse's room.
I am absolutely going to be like, leave me alone in a room. I'm going to sit there and be like, hello, are you? I want
just sitting there in like just a banana hammock.
I want to like just hear a ghost be like, hey, good looking. Like I want a spectral spirit from beyond the grave to just be like, looking good. And I'll be like, thank you. What?
I love that.
I'll let you know when we hear back. I hope that's where we get
to go.
That
would be amazing.
It'll be a nice, and it's nice, easy trip for all of us. So. All right, the next story is all yours, Alex.
All right, this one's called My Doppelganger Story by The Wizard Beard. This story is fairly mundane compared to a lot of the stuff I've heard on the podcast and read here, but it's okay to read on the show or share if anyone finds it interesting. Well, guess what, The Wizard Beard? You're about to be put on blast. Last Saturday evening, I headed down to my local grocery store for some soda and snacks for a game night with friends. I go to the store probably two or three times a week and always park in the same spot unless it's taken, which is fairly far from the entrance. I do this because it's next to a cart return, so cars can't block my view from that direction when I leave, and it's typically less crowded with pedestrians. Also, because I'm a creature of habit. When I pulled into the parking lot, I saw my spot was taken by a car that was identical to mine. I drove a four-door red 2014 Ford Focus sedan. The only difference I could see was the license plate frame, and it was pretty dirty and needed a wash. It was about 8 p.m. and there were no other cars parked near that spot. I didn't think much of it beyond, huh, that's odd, and parked a few spots away. I got out of my car and started walking to the store when I noticed a man walking away from the store who was looking down at his phone and carrying a grocery bag. I glanced at him and then did a double take and stopped. He looked exactly like me. I'm a fairly distinct, if not unique, looking guy. I'm about 6 feet tall, significantly overweight, wear large glasses, and have a very long, bushy brown beard with some gray starting to creep into it.
We all join you on that club. So we all are. Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was wearing black shoes, grayish green cargo shorts, a Fallout New Vegas t-shirt, and a plain red hat.
Good video game taste, my friend.
The man walking towards me was matched my height, build, beard, and glasses exactly, as near as I could tell. He was wearing black shoes, gray cargo shorts, and a red hat. He was not wearing a Fallout New Vegas t-shirt, but he was wearing a shirt with a Power Armor helmet from the Fallout game series.
Huh.
That's pretty good. He was looking at his phone as he walked past, not noticing me. I was kind of dumbstruck and didn't say anything, but just stared at him, rudely thinking back, as he got into the other red Ford Focus and drove off, probably to a game night with his friends. While my mind started going through the possibilities of time loops, bleeding alternate realities, hallucinations, and other Mathis-leaning theories.
I take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Fair enough. I know that it was probably just another handsome beard aficionado with a common car and good taste in video game apparel. Still had me reeling for an hour or two, though. I hope I see that guy again, mostly because I want to know if he'll be as weirded out as I was, or if reality will collapse when we meet. Delightful little story.
That's a great story, and I love it too, because it's one of those things where if you look at the grand picture of Earth, 8 billion people now, as of yesterday, I think.
Yeah, right on the dot, by the way, yeah.
How many people cross each other's path infinite times every day? eventually somebody is bound to bump into somebody that probably looks very similar to them, who drives a car that's exactly the same as theirs with minor differences, and even to the attire. Like, I want to believe doppelganger as well, but at the same time, you could just be the coincidence that happened that day amongst 8 billion other people.
Like crazy coincidences that blow your mind don't happen that much, but like everybody has like 15 stories. You know what I mean? Like there's always like something that's just, whoa, like this person, like how many times you ran into somebody that you know from somewhere that's, and you're like not anywhere near where you know that
another country from. Or like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's fascinating, but also like we've had some doppelganger stories on the show before, and everyone is just like, the one that sticks with me a lot is the one from the tree where like the fell down and hit his head. That one's a fucking weird one. I hope I never run into my doppelganger if they're out there, because
I would love to see that.
I'm all over the internet. I got doppelgangers.
You,
fat, nerdy, red. Dude, you gotta see that
Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, have you played Cyberpunk 2077?
My mom, I swear to God, years ago was like, you need to start changing how you dress because everyone wears the same stuff as you. She's like, everywhere you go, you look like everyone else. And I was like,
thanks, mom.
Yeah, we're pretty homogenized over here in the gaming world.
we
love our hoodies and t-shirts. Kind of comes say, with like,
the job.
If you don't Nintendo do that, it's usually it. Long hair and a beard too. Like it's one of like three varying options for white gamer men.
Don't take care of ourselves. That's the vibe.
yeah, there you go. Jesse, the next one is in your hands.
The next one, The Haunted Village by Little Flower
Therese. Like Teresa?
Just gotcha. Therese. I just want to make sure because I didn't know. Everything's lowercase.
Yeah.
And it could have been Little Flower Therese. I don't know.
What about, true. Little, what about Little Flower There Special Edition?
Yeah, see, exactly.
I like that one way better.
Special edition.
Sucks. Special edition, the flower there.
Special edition. I've been making my way through your podcast. I'm on 38. Oh, man.
Man, you are in like the primitive era still of like what this podcast would become.
It's only downhill from there. And I've heard that two.
We peaked at Tommy Patera.
So far, we asked for listener stories. I know that. Was a long time ago, so I'm not sure if you still take them. We definitely do. But if you still do, here's one from me that you have permission to use if you wish.
She'll catch up to this in a couple more years. In about 2 years, yeah. She'll be here.
But it's kind of short. So maybe just for people who are interested in read. Anyways, I love the podcast. I'm not sure if I believe, but the banter is amazing. Thank you.
Now that's an Alex listener I have ever heard.
It's one of the
security
guards from our last show.
Yeah, from every show.
From every show.
Man, that was a really good show.
Like, thank you, security guards.
When I was a teenager, I interned at Old Sturbridge Village, a kind of living history museum in Massachusetts.
Shout out Massachusetts. I miss you, baby.
To give some background, most, if not all, of the houses were moved to the site of the museum village. They weren't built there originally. Docents do not pretend to be from the time period. However, we did dress in period clothing and demonstrate period activities.
I went to many of these as a child in New England where you
like
go.
Like Colonial Williamsburg vibes.
Yeah, you walk in, you're watching them churn the butter and they're talking to you like they're from, they live there and all this stuff. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The because I'm dumb, a docent is what exactly?
Like a museum, no, like a museum helper.
Yeah, they're all right. So they're not the actors pretending to be the people from the time period. They're dressed up to like facilitate all that stuff.
Yeah, one time I smoked weed with a Ben Franklin in Boston.
That sounds right.
That sounds right. Ben Franklin would have smoked weed with
that
you.
That sounds like the most Ben Franklin you've ever heard.
That was kind of like my in. That was like my
dude.
My like.
Can you imagine
line.
Smoking weed with Ben Franklin while helping him write his almanac to troll the dude's dead dad for like?
I don't have to. I lived it.
Oh man, that's so good.
Westworld, East Coast world.
Interns rotate through different, doing different things. One day, I was assigned to do a butter churning demonstration
literally
with my boss.
God, every year.
We were in one of the lower rooms of the townhouse at the end of the green. Underneath the house, had a modern basement, and the door to that basement was behind us and to the side as we did the demonstrations. If you went down to the basement stairs, the basement was not rectangle. If you're standing on the stairs, to the left is a turn that you cannot see around until you get to the bottom of the stairs and would have to turn around and look in that direction. That's a hell stairs. That's demons live there.
Demons live in
these
stairs.
That's just like every staircase from before like 1890.
Yeah, that's where you would go to hide. Let's just make them
scary and dangerous for no fucking reason. Yeah. How about that?
Mm-mm.
How about they just go up to your knees?
Waiting for idiots to come downstairs and you kill them. Yeah, no thanks. I don't really know what was over there other than storage. The basement didn't really have much in it, though. I'm 90% sure that it was only accessible. It was the only accessible door to the basement. It was probably 2 or 3 in the afternoon and the light was on. Not your typical spooky basement. To the right, as you're coming down the stairs, the basement extended a little ways and there was a set of sinks clearly visible from the stairs. My boss gave me the butter churn and told me to go into the basement and wash it in the sink.
Your boss was Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
I haven't seen that movie, but I know the reference.
I'm washing it when I see my boss, who was in period garb, come down the stairs and go around the far corner on the other side of the stairs. I can't remember if there was a mirror above the sink or if hearing her coming down the stairs made me look over my shoulder. I finished washing the butter churn and bringing it back upstairs where my boss is still in the demonstration table talking to guests. They walk away and I ask her why she came into the basement. Surprised because I had not seen or heard her go back up the stairs. She said that no one had gone in the basement. She was still standing basically in front of the door in this small room, so she would have noticed. All of a sudden, I was aggressively distraught. I don't know if it was teenage nonsense or hormones or what, but I absolutely lost my cool and started bawling at work and needed to go outside. I had never done something like that before, including the time I accidentally locked myself in a pitch black basement at a different house on site and my candle blew out.
Literally like a trailer from a horror movie.
Next.
I don't think my boss is very happy with me, but she made sure I got to my parents at the end of my shift.
God bless.
After that, I don't think I was ever stationed in that house again, but I talked to some of the other staff about it. More than one person said they had paranormal experiences with that house. Several said they saw a lady going out the upper window when the house was either closed or for the night or before it was open in the morning. Oh, looking out, not going out. I was about to say going out the window. One told me there was a painting of the woman who had lived there in the house and convinced me to go with them to see it. They wanted to know if the lady I had looked at or seen, if it had looked like her. I did get up the courage to go, but unfortunately, I had not seen the woman on the stairs face. We all wore bonnets and she had been looking away from me. I just saw her dress and that woman was descending the stairs, then walked out of sight around the corner. I didn't look closely because I assumed it was my boss. Another staff member told me a story about how a tax collector, maybe a guy who committed tax fraud, possibly he was both. This was over 10 years ago, so bear with me. Hung himself in the attic when he was found out. And that you could see the worn place on the beam where the rope had swung. He eventually convinced me to go with him to look at it. And there was a worn piece on the beam. But it was also a 150-year-old house. So it totally, you know, he could have totally been fucking with me. I tried to Google it. But since then, OSV has started doing a Halloween program. And it's hard to find anything other than that. I did find a comment on Facebook about the townhouse where a guy named Greg Hill said he saw a ghost in that house and when he worked there. But I think he must have worked there different times.
Shout out Greg Hill.
Someone also told me that the Freeman farmhouse was haunted by the ghost of a woman who had lived there. And I think they said died of tuberculosis in the front bedroom.
Even if that's just a guess, that's a good guess for the time period.
Yeah, sounds right. No idea if that's true, but there's my story. Looking forward to continuing to listen to the podcast. Thanks.
See you in 150 episodes.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. What is, now I got to know, what is episode 38? Where she's 38 episodes in, what is our 38th episode?
Great question.
I'm going to figure that out right this time. But I never saw any ghosts when I went to these places as a kid, though I really, really wish I had.
But, you know, if you work there, you know, you might be more prone.
True, true. Oh, she's just starting. That's the Kitschies Key Lime Pie episode. It's episode 38. That's a good.
It really is. Oh, that's a classic.
That's a classic of the podcast. Okay, we've got one last story. And as always, I have to have a dream for Jesse to interpret. So this I'll read to you, Jesse. Sit back, enjoy it. It's this quick dream simply titled The Bicycle Dream by Trainer Cat Lady.
Hit me.
This is your future wife.
I love the name of the dream.
I had a dream last night where I was apparently coming home from work, and the dream started as I approached one of the main intersections on my route home. Only instead of being in a car, I was on a bicycle. I remember it being very dark, even wet, like it had just snowed or rained as I approached the intersection. And as the light turned green, I tried to push on the pedals, but they wouldn't go. So stuck were they that I almost pushed myself over the handlebars. Of course, this being a dream, the only course of action I could think of was to dismount and carry the bike over my head and cross the intersection. I remember feeling proud that I carried it over my head.
I think there's an army man that has that.
Probably. But as I started walking down the street on the other side of the intersection, I didn't realize it at the time, but it had become late afternoon, early evening. It was quite bright out. I also noticed that there were very few cars on this usually very busy road, and as I looked back to where I came from, I noticed there were a lot of abandoned bicycles littered over the road in random spots, but there was an occasional car that drove past as if nothing was wrong. The dream ended when I actually saw someone walking toward me on the sidewalk, and I commented something like, "Huh, that's weird. Look at how many bikes there are in the road." The guy just looked at me weird, and I woke up. I haven't ridden a bike in probably 25 years, and my job is way too far away to ride a bike, so what gives? Why bicycles, and why were they all over the road?
Yo, I got this. This is actually, there's a crazy version of this, and then there's like the really simple version.
And remember to all you doubters out there, Jesse has a degree in dream.
I have no such degree.
Dream therapy and crystal adventures. He's 100% qualified.
I do have a degree in crystal adventures. That's true. Yeah. So right away you said there was an intersection, and an intersection is obviously about choice, right? That makes perfect sense. That's usually what it's synonymous with. A bicycle is usually synonymous with balance, and you have to be balanced to be on that bicycle. So you have this sort of like balance meeting choice, right? And then everything locks up. And it feels like this is one of those dreams that's you working shit out, right? Where you're like trying to live your balance. You hit a choice in your life. You lock up. And your reaction to the lockup wasn't like, well, I guess I'm going to abandon my bike like everyone else here. All the other abandoned bikes in the area, which is, a symbol of indecision and reticence to make that choice at the intersection.
That's exactly how I feel whenever I look at a fucking big ass pile of bikes.
You picked your bike up over your head, walk that shit through the intersection like nothing's gonna stop me. Even if the bike won't move, I'm gonna get through this. And then on the other side, you're like, damn, that was a lot of bikes back there. And you had that sort of revelation to yourself. And then the person in your dream, which is probably some form of your subconscious, was like, yeah, all right. you worked through it, and it wasn't a big deal to you. You didn't even stop to think about it. You picked up the bike and kept moving. And I think that makes like a lot of sense. I would say there's another version of this. A lot of the time people think bikes are synonymous with love.
I didn't know that.
And relationships because of two wheels. I don't know if I buy that, but hey, it could be a love dream. You could be like in a relationship and then you're carrying that relationship, you know, past a point of indecision. I have
no clue. It's like a Bob Dylan song. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well,
so there you go. Yeah, but it makes sense to me.
I hope that brings clarity and peace
to
you. What's your name again? Trainer Cat Lady. Maybe Jesse is the love that you're destined to find. And
that you're carrying. You know what? I need to be in a relationship where I get carried the entire time. Yeah,
this is all just fate, bringing the two of your lives together, crossing the weave and the tapestry of time. And next live show, I hope we see you.
I've often said, the problem is I've said if I was going to be in your dreams, you would know. Like, I'm going to, like,
Pennywise
get in your
the
dreams.
Clown?
Yeah, I'm going to, like, Pennywise my way into your dreams. But
crawl
also, like,
out of my projector.
But also, you know, like, a little less deadly. A little
less
more smoochy.
Less deadly, more horny, I'm imagining.
Eat my little brother when I'm too young to know if it's real. Yeah.
Twitter Jesse's horny, so maybe Dream Jesse will be horny.
Whoa, Twitter Jesse is not horny at all.
Do you agree with that, Alex?
I do remember you tweeting about the redheads that you wanted to show up at the show.
Yeah.
Look, it didn't happen. It's very clear redheads want nothing to do with me. It's fine.
What are those things sticking out of your head, dude?
I don't know. I can't see them.
Oh, never mind. It just must have been a trick of the light.
Can't see them.
Happy.
Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. The earliest Halloween episodes.
Always, online. Yeah. On this happy Halloween special episode, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. We're off to go to Patreon to do a minisode. Please head to patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. Your support there is the lifeblood of the show. You let us allow us to do all of the wonderful shit we get to do here and keep on growing. We're off to the next one. Thank you guys so much. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out of here!" So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.